Yeah. You know, the biggest thing, you know, with any kind of challenge, I think, you know, obviously we specifically talk about baseball and those kind of things, but life in general, you know, everybody deals with it as not to think of it as a sprint, but it's a marathon, and do a little at a time. You know, if things are bad today, tomorrow could be different, but that's a choice we have to make. You know, whatever we can do today to make tomorrow better, you know, I think it is a big part of it. You know, it's kind of like going through a slump in baseball. You know, you're going to go through those slumps. You're going to go 0 for your next 10 at times, you know, and struggle. But, you know, just be consistent in your positive approach. Stay consistent with a positive approach and things will change.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, it's that time again. It's the time you're listening to the Professor of Perseverance Podcast. I'm not going to lie to you. I am Dr. James Perdue. But again, don't take that doctor personally, you know, because I can't write out a prescription for you. But I can drive you to your pharmacist and pick them up for you if you need me to. So I can help you out that way. So today, our guest on talking about some overcoming adversity is a timely. Actually, we should have done a little earlier, but it's a timely situation here. Baseball has started, finally kicked off. We're not getting the short version of it like we did last year. And actually, people are getting to come to the fields. Not 100% at the moment. I think there's one place, Texas, was opening up into. Yeah, going to. And so we're going to talk today about COVID, how it affected baseball last year, and how it's going to affect this year, and see how we're going to work things out then. So my guest today is a former All-SEC pitcher for the Vols, University of Tennessee, go Vols. So, and I'm not going to lie to you, I know him personally. So Jamie Bennett, Coach Jamie Bennett, welcome to today's podcast.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here, James, and good to see you.
Oh, it's always great to see you. And I mentioned to you earlier, I wish we'd had a camera going. And like I said, there was 1,000 cameras over there that day when you and Doug and my brother and me, and we all got together and should have took a picture of all of us, because all four of us, the rarity is we're all four left-handed, as rare as left-handed people are. And there was four of them right there together.
Right, so, yeah. And like we said, the only people in their right minds. But
there we go. That's right.
These days, it's hard to get four people that have that kind of background together at the same time anyway, that all know each other. So that would have been nice.
Well, back in, like we said earlier, back in the day, my brother and I were coaches in the league, and we got to coach Jamie in All-Stars. I got to coach Doug Hall in All-Stars and a bunch of other people. But again, four of us at one time, right there together, left-handed. That was pretty cool and rare. Yeah. So there. Now, Jay, before we get going any further here, I want to make sure I get me one of these for the people looking, coming in later. Jamie's got his own bobblehead. Who all's got their own bobblehead? You know, what's her name from? Who was that? Loyola, that university, and that one woman is 101 years old, and she's got her own bobblehead. Yeah,
I'm getting there fast.
So there you go. And you got two versions of you.
Broken on one of them.
Yeah, maybe one of them's broken. So actually, there's nothing in front of your feet on the, unless that's broken off, but that one here's got some type of inscription on it.
That's actually our owner's law firm right there. So,
okay. So, but Jamie, I got to get me one to put back here. And then I can say, you can be sitting by the Hulk over here, the Hulk and Michael Jordan.
Right. I won't.
Or if you this way. No, we'll go this way. It's either you can see Sheldon and, what's his name on the Big Bang Theory? Bobblehead.
I love the Big Bang Theory.
Sheldon and Leonard.
Beside Sheldon, then I would beside the Hulk.
Sheldon and Leonard. So, all right, Jamie. So let's Appreciate you getting coming in here. Let's go ahead and talk about this COVID thing, what happened last year. I know everybody's getting prepared for it. Boy, I feel sorry for all spring sports in high school and summer leagues. I know they kicked off late and they did try something. I know that. Right. But I really feel bad for the high schools and especially seniors. I would have hated it if I was a senior and I would have lost my senior year from playing. And, but what team I really felt bad for was Vanderbilt because they were pre-ranked number one in the country and would have loved to see how they could have played. Of course, they were year before College World Series champions. Yes. And then they were pre-ranked number one. I would have loved to have seen that team last year, but I really felt bad for them. And again, all the seniors plus athletes that missed out on everything last year.
Yeah. The trickle down effect has been what, you know, really, man, it really hit me hard, or, you know, it really struck me, you know, when this whole thing started, you know, last spring. You know, it's, hey, we may be a couple weeks late starting the season. You don't know. It's kind of, you know, we didn't know what we were dealing with yet. And, you know, but once you saw that trickle down effect of guys losing their senior year of high school, you know, you got college seniors that don't know whether to go back or not once they actually were told they could go back, or do they move on to pro ball? And the biggest thing with that college level is the scholarships. All right, we've offered scholarships to freshmen incoming, but we still have seniors on scholarship that we've given another year by NCAA rules. So, you know, those guys, they were, you know, they passed their limits with the scholarships. So, you know, the trickle down effect, you know, some people abolished their programs even. I think Bowling Green University, there were several. But the trickle down effect of what that did from pro ball to college ball to high school was, it was a lot more than, you know, I initially was even thinking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, no one knew what to expect. This is, yeah, I mean, the last great big pandemic was early 1900 we had nothing to do with. Yeah. And so here we are experiencing something that's hopefully be rare for another 100 years or whatnot. Hopefully.
I hope so. It's been quite the impact. And, you know, for us personally as an organization, you know, in Schaumburg, you know, where I am in the Frontier League, we were in a decent spot, thankfully.
The Schaumburg Boomers.
The Boomers, yes.
And that's up in Chicago?
Yeah, just about 20 miles northwest of Chicago.
All right.
Suburb area. It's, you know, we are an independent minor league team. I don't know how familiar everybody is with independent baseball, but it's become a lot more prevalent. You know, we're probably this year, 16 teams. And, you know, we 40 to 50 guys picked up to affiliate ball every year. Probably 75% of the league has already played minor league baseball. The talent's good. The baseball is great. But, it was tough for those guys, you know, to not get a season, especially once you get to pro ball, age becomes a very, very big deal. The difference between 23 and 25 in pro baseball is a lot. And, you know, guys missing a year was tough for them.
So when y'all were informed that, like I said, your season may start late because of this COVID, not knowing what's going on, then you're preparing to start late. And then it comes to you, hey, man, it doesn't look good. So now what do you think? Because now you're trying to keep your players mentally ready, physically, to do things the best they could on their own, I guess. I don't know if y'all are allowed to meet. And then you're trying to get them to stay as physical fit as possible and on their own. Right. And then you finally get the word, it's not happening. I mean, how did that go?
It's challenging. And, you know, and it's going to be an interesting spring training this year. I'll tell you that. You know, we report spring training here in about just over a month, which is about 2 weeks later than normal, which also COVID related. Things are pushed back just a couple of weeks. I may have said months, a couple of weeks later than normal. But, you know, we're planning to open up May 27th. Still planning on playing a full 96-game schedule, which is nice. But, you know, you know, we had that delay last year. You know, we were working into, hey, we're not going to start in May. We know that. We're looking at June. Then we're like, you know, if it gets past July 4th, I don't think it's going to happen. And that's obviously what the result was. But the trickle-down effect, you know, last year's ML, you know, as far as independent baseball, a lot of guys have already played minor league baseball or just recently released from minor league baseball. You know, the Major League Baseball draft last year was 5 rounds as opposed to the normal 40. So
yes,
there's a 35 rounds of guys that would have been normally moving on to professional baseball that didn't. So there's a lot of players out there that, you know, looking for jobs, trying to figure things out. But also we were about 90% done with our roster for 2020. You know, here we are, 90% of a roster. They don't play. And, you know, that's been the challenge this offseason is, you know, we've had a handful of players that just shut it down. You know, it's, hey, I'm a year older. You know, I had to start working, you know, these kind of things. Had to find a real job, as we call it.
That's right.
Oh, you got to find a real job. Can't do this baseball stuff anymore. But
hanging at baseball as long as possible.
Yeah, and I'm still trying.
That's right.
But yeah, these guys, you know, that, you know, we had signed to 2020 contracts that are coming back or that played for us in 2019 and we're coming back. Those guys haven't had game live action, most of them. You know, there's been a few random things here and there, but, you know, it's been 18 months. You know, usually our offseason is about 7-8 months, and they think that's long. This has been so it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting spring to see. You know, our spring training lasts 2 weeks, and we go. So
now you're really going to find out who's been disciplined to do things at home on their own.
Exactly. It's never been left up to a player on his own more than it has been, you know, through this stretch to keep themselves as ready as possible. And, you know, and it's a difference. You got players from New Jersey and you got players from Arizona. Guys in Arizona are probably going to be a little bit easier to get some work done. But, you know, so it's some challenges for the guys.
Yep. So, and we're talking with Coach Jamie Bennett of the Boomers. How many years have you been coaching there now?
This will be, 2020 was supposed to be. 2021 will be my ninth year managing there.
Ninth year and won 3 championships?
Yes, sir.
3 championships and Coach of the Year?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Smoke and mirrors. Smoke
you're getting, mirrors. He's getting like wine, getting better his age, huh?
So, hopefully at my job, not looking.
There you go. That's right. So, again, we're talking with Coach Jamie Bennett with the Boomers again. And so with this COVID, what are y'all expecting about fan-wise, you know, what's going on? Hey, yeah, and Jay, thank you for coming in, Jay. You got Jay, a buddy of mine again, Jay. Hey, a little baseball talk today. Yes, sir.
Oh, I see a big UK in there.
That's right. He's a big UK fan. Big Jay is.
I signed a kid from Kentucky this past season.
Oh, I thought you would give his name. So I was waiting on
him. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know if I was going to hear from him. Luke Becker. Luke Becker is the kid's name. Played at University of Kentucky and played a couple years in the Padres minor league system.
But yeah, Jay, he's a big UK fan, big one. So, a little for the basketball with Kentucky basketball this year.
Yeah.
Down the way they were, but you know Kentucky, they'll bounce back pretty quick, and they'll be back where they're supposed to be. So Jay, thank you. A little baseball talk today. So all right, so we got to interrupt you there, Jamie.
No,
so what is the we had mentioned that in what you would say was Texas had. A huge amount that they let come in, but most of them are limiting, 10-20% of the capacity?
And, you know, I'm not even 100% sure. It's different, obviously, state to state, what everybody's protocols are. Right now, where we are in Schaumburg, just outside Chicago, and we are in Cook County, which is the same county as Chicago, I think we're at about 50% right now. But, you know, and that's the challenge. You know, Major League Baseball, you know, TV contracts, all those things, they can kind of survive. Minor League Baseball needs fans.
And, exactly.
You know, and that's been the challenge. You know, we were fortunate enough that in Schaumburg, our stadium actually, you know, without the minor league season last year, every team was allowed a taxi squad, as they called it. You know, they had about 50 guys working out at a particular site near their hub, you know, Chicago, Diamondbacks, Arizona, whatever. But we were fortunate enough, the White Sox used our stadium for their taxi squad. So revenue wise, you know, that helped our organization. You know, it was some income. You know, we rented out because high school graduations couldn't happen indoors. They were renting our stadium, for those kind of things, you know, drive through graduations. So, you know, there's a lot of those kind of things that, these minor league clubs had to do to survive. You know, we were fortunate with the White Sox thing for sure. And they're actually using our stadium as we speak, because the minor league system was bumped back a month this year. You know, AAA hasn't started yet. AA hasn't started yet. So they don't have those players for the major leaguers to call up from if they need it through that system. So we're still doing a taxi squad for about a month, and they're doing that in Schaumburg again. But, you know, that's been a big one for our organization in particular. But as far as fans go, yeah, I think about 50% right now is where we are. They're hoping to be 100% by maybe 4th of July. And that would be big. You know, you get into the summer when school's out and kids are out going to games.
Yes, that'd be huge.
Yeah, we need attendance.
Yes.
And that's a big part of it. So
I've been known to be caught at the Nashville Sounds before. So to support our local Sounds there. So I've been known to catch a game, as they would call it.
Yes. I actually, random enough, my first championship in 2013 – I was managing against.
Wait a minute! I got to stop you, Jamie. You got to do 2013 like my grandfather.
Oh, and 20.
It was the year 2000 and
2013. I believe.
There you go.
It was our first championship in Schaumburg. The manager for the opposing team, which at that time was Florence, Kentucky, was Fran Reardon, who was the manager for the AAA Oakland Athletics in Nashville just a few years ago. So it was kind of a little bit of a nice homecoming. I went to see him in Nashville. And my first home game in Schaumburg was managed against Fran, and we played against each other. So kind of a small world. Unfortunately, the A's were only here for, I think, a couple of years. You know, so I say unfortunately for me. But now the Rangers are there. But yeah, I mean, that stadium's unbelievable, though, in Nashville.
Yeah, there was one game where Ricky Henderson was coming in as a spot guest.
Oh.
And we found out it. I found out that morning, Sunday morning, and I called my brother and you know, Scott Bone, and we all of a sudden ran to the get up there by 2 o'clock, or I think it was, so we could watch the game to catch him, you know, to see Ricky Henderson.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I still remember the bright green Mizuno batting gloves. He was one of the first people going neon green.
Yeah. So
those late 80s A's.
All right. Now, so what's the testing going to be like for you and your players?
Testing. Now that's an interesting one. And, you know, we're still in the works of that right now. I know our general manager is, you know, he's pushing for guys to get vaccinated. You know, we're kind of trying to go off MLB protocol. And, you know, you can't force anybody to get vaccinated.
No.
Nobody's forced to get vaccinated. You know, MLB right now, I don't know how much of it's going to trickle down, but you know, those guys that are vaccinated in MLB right now can kind of live their normal life. The guys that are not, you're limited to the hotel and the clubhouse almost. I got good friends. One of them actually from Columbia, Tennessee. He's the big league hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. I coached with him. His brother, who I know very well, is the farm director for the Giants. Well, in Arizona, in spring training, those guys are 20 miles apart, and they couldn't even see each other.
Wow.
Based on protocol, you know, they just couldn't go out. But guys that are starting to get vaccinated can get out and kind of live their normal life. So, you know, what our protocols are going to be yet, they're still working on. I know we're urging guys to get vaccinated. And that's the, you know, that's the tough part. I'm sure it's going to happen in the workforce in general quite a bit. This is what you have to do if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, if you are, you can do this. So we'll see. But, you know, it's a complicated situation with guys sharing hotel rooms, the bus. You know, as we would call it, it's a COVID hotspot. You get 30 guys on the bus.
I can imagine that,
So things could spread quick through a clubhouse.
NFL, they were allowed to have extra players in case the COVID, and then they were able to replace immediately. So do y'all know if y'all are going to be allowed to have – 4 or 5 extra players hanging around? I don't know if they're on the team or they're like right on standby or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, from what I hear, and this is still in the works, it's going to be more of a standby. You know, the MLB right now has that taxi squad because the minor leagues haven't started yet. We are, from what I hear in their league, we're trying to provide in a sense have the number right now is 10, to have 10 players that are local. You know, I don't know what the radius is, the mile radius, but have 10 players on a list that we can call and say, I need you here tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately for us, Chicago area, there are some of those. But, you know, the tough part for some of these clubs, you know, we've got teams in Canada, we got teams in St. Louis area, you know, some of those should be fine. But, you know, Southern Illinois, Marion, Illinois, small town. Evansville, Indiana, not the biggest town, but you know, if it's got to be a certain mile radius, those 10 players available could vary a lot from one club to the next. There as far as talent goes.
Now, that gets to be up to the players. Could you say, like, pick someone from Tennessee and they just kind of move up there into your radius? Or do they already have to already be in that area or whatnot?
It may be early to figure that out, but the tough part is living. You know, a lot of these minor league players, they live with host families.
They're not getting the paycheck of the MLB.
No, they're not getting the paycheck to get the condo downtown. So, you know, we rely on host families a lot. We got a college nearby that helps out a little bit, especially this year. And that's been another challenge. Host family, the families that volunteer to host, you know, we've always had plenty. That obviously dropped off. You know, having a stranger that's been around 30 other strangers living in your house with a pandemic, it's a concern for some families. It's been a challenge just trying to figure that stuff out too.
And it doesn't matter, baseball, any time of sports or not, or anything like that. Almost everybody, I guess anybody, is prone to catching this COVID. They say the young ones are the one least resistant to everything, or least of vulnerable to it. And correct. You happen to have what at home with you?
What's that?
You happen to have who in home with you?
Oh,
quarantined?
Yes. I have a 7-year-old back here throwing plastic golf balls off the ceiling right now. that is quarantined from school because somebody in his class had it. Yeah, it's the quarantine and it's like we said, the trickle down effect. And, like you said, it's not just sports, the whole country with, you know, work, stay home with kids. It's a challenge.
So I don't understand why or who or how this COVID come about. I mean, you hear and read where it possibly originated from and how it got out and everything, but why would someone want to design anything like that other than evil? I would have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I wear my mask and hope that I don't get it, and I've taken my 2 shots. I'll be fully vaccinated through my body next week. So,
next Friday,
mine to be Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. So, next Friday is my second shot. So, and my wife teaches.
I took it. I got my second shot nearly 2 weeks ago. It just, when you get your second shot, it takes about 2 full weeks for your body to build up all those rest of the antibodies in there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it'd take, after you get shot, it'd be about 2 more weeks before you're officially with it. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm in between. I get my second shot next week. My wife's a teacher. She's done. You know, my parents are older. They're done. And, you know, it's like I think everybody else, just trying to live normal again.
Hey, Q, come on in, buddy. Hey, he said, what's up, boys? Hey, AQ, we're talking Angry Quad. He goes by the Angry Quad. So, AQ, hey, we're talking some baseball and COVID today. So, all right. So, AQ, he's not even considering. All right. So, hey.
Vaccine?
I'm assuming it means not even consideration. I'm assuming he made no vaccination for him. So, yeah. Everybody has their choices. Everybody, yeah. I mean, I won't hold that against you, big boy. So I appreciate you coming on.
That's a challenge with our players, though, is, you know, I actually reached out to a couple players already and kind of gave them the heads up that you know, the organization is urging it. Can't make anybody do it, but it could make a difference in how you live your summer. But it's just a choice, you know, and that's what it is. Like, you know, if you want to be in your hotel in the clubhouse only, that's what it could look like. I don't know.
So
we're in life right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's neither home to the store and doctor's office and back home. So, you know, with it. So, I early with these vaccinations, you know, with people sending the word out that the government's implanting computer chips into you and it's going to alter your DNA. And so I got over here getting my shot. Yeah, I got over and got my shot and everything. And I'd mess with the one giving a shot. And I would say it loud enough for the people waiting to hear. I'd go like, as I said, now, you did read my application. I checked mark no computer chip. Like it, and of course it's not on there. And then I look over and there's people over on the other side. They're rereading their application. Rereading it. I said, don't give me the one that's going to change my DNA.
I don't want to grow a third arm.
Or I don't want to have a child, you know, with a third eye in the middle of the head. So but I'd say it loud enough. And then you look over and see these people. They're rereading their application that before the shot to see if they had checked those.
Is that on here?
Yeah. I didn't see that at the beginning.
It's like, I just signed. I don't know.
Hey, this is a topic right here, AQ, that you mentioned. Yeah, because of COVID, passports. Yeah, people, the government's trying to push these passports and having or not. I don't know if legally they're allowed to do that. I don't know the laws per se. I'm not in the government, but I do know that HIPAA law allows people to know about my medical records.
Yep.
And so this would violate my rights right there by doing that. And
that's a lot of gray area with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so, I heard Canada just had is having a really bad like third outbreak, and I think they're not getting the vaccinations through like they wanted. Well, we've got 4 teams in our league in Canada. And, you know, that's been a concern. Fortunately for us specifically, we're in a different division. We have 2 divisions. And because of COVID this year, they try to keep most of the schedule just within your own division. So we don't go to Canada this year. But now the other division, which has 8 teams, 4 of those teams are in Canada. So if Canada shuts down the border, which you know, it's very possible. There's Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg, Canada's in another league of independent baseball. They're having to play their first 2 weeks out of Milwaukee.
Yeah, that was tough with the college football this year. Most of them played within their own. And can you imagine an all SEC schedule? I mean, as tough as SEC is in football, and especially your schedule is the whole thing.
Especially when you're evolving.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, Ball, Vanderbilt, you know, all these other teams struggling. This would have been a great year. Would have been a great year for Tennessee if they could have pulled a couple of them victories out to show they're on the right spot.
Yeah.
But then something else happened other than that. So
that's a tough schedule.
Yeah, that would be a beat. And I'm sorry. People can. Don't yell at me, but I mean, you can write all you want to. I don't believe the Ohio State should have been there with only 5 or 6 games when everybody else has played 10. And, you know, and even though it worked out for the best for Alabama, but physically, they weren't beat up at half the schedule compared to an SEC or anybody play 10 games.
Yeah,
and they're beat up twice at least. And, I mean, they really had the advantage going in.
Yeah.
Just Alabama was just so strong this year.
What about, yeah. And there's so many sides to the way you look at that. But I agree. I mean, I'd like to lean on the side of the guys that have played the schedule and put up the numbers. Now, you know, there's also the side, I guess, of, you know, like you said, they, you know, it's out of their control, though. You know, they can't help it. But neither can the other team that played 11 games and improve their worth.
Yeah, I was very against that just for the physical differences on the beating taking.
The toll it takes on those guys,
So that was the only thing. Other than that, you know, I just wish it would have been a better game. So, Alabama was just so stoked this year.
Oh, so, yeah, it was kind of like the NCAA basketball championship, you know, after
such exciting, what a turnaround.
And then the final game just wasn't quite what you hoped as far as the game goes.
I wish I'd have put my lunch money on Baylor in that championship game.
Yeah, my lunch money. What the odds were, but I would assume Gonzaga was quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, I would think the odds would have been, yeah. So, all right, Jamie, so other than the still unsure of several things before you start your season. And you know as well as I do, things are subject to change at any time, even during the season, on what's going on. Depends if we have our fourth stage of this going on, the pandemic. So, man, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. Just do the best we can, move forward. Protect yourself as best as possible. So,
yeah, and that's what it is. You know, it's not about just me getting it. It's about giving it to somebody else. And, you know, you try to stay away from those things. And, you know, bottom line is, you know, if it takes this and it takes that to get back to normal, you know, I'm kind of up for it. You know, you just want life to return back to normal. And, but, you know, I think all in all, like, in 1 year's time, a lot has been done, and people are starting to learn to live with it and do what needs to be done. And, you know, when it got really bad, you know, I was a little concerned about this season. So, but looking like we're going to have one, and we got a schedule out and report dates are there and everything. I'm excited to just get on field again.
There you go. Hey Q, see you, buddy. Got to get back to training. I understand that. And, tell Miss Mary, we say hello as well. So, all right, and now let me get to this point here, because I've seen on TV, just TV and watching ESPN and stuff like that. No, I don't get anything from ESPN, but you can drop me a check if you want to, since I mentioned it. So, but watching all the coaches, so you're going to be wearing a mask while you're trying to yell to your players across the field. Do you have a certain amount of time you'll be able to pull your mask down and have to put it back up? How's that? And on the field, haven't seen mask wearing on the field, but
not everybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it seemed like you see one or two, but not everybody. So as long as you're on the field playing, you can or can. You don't have to, but you can.
Yeah,
but if you're on the bench, you have to have it on if you're not participating.
That's what MLB is right now. Yeah. Now, our protocol, I don't know if it's going to be the same. I would assume they're going to encourage at a minimum in the dugouts. And, you know, that's some of the stuff. You know, we have protocols in place for last year that just never happened. I mean, of course, last year things were worse, no vaccinations. But if we'd have played last year, you know, we have a 24-man roster. We were talking about having to bring in 8 guys at a time into the clubhouse. Like, you – 8 guys come in, get dressed, get out to the field. Then the next 8, then the next 8, you know, just, you know, to keep everybody from being in a closed in space. And, you know, baseball, fortunately, is one of the better sports as far as not being everybody being indoors and
close to each other.
Yeah. So the outdoor part of it, you know, helps a lot. So we're still waiting on protocols as far as that stuff goes to see. I think clubhouse stuff will hopefully be normal, but But again, I think it's all going to come back to who's vaccinated, who's not. If somebody gets it, you know, what are we looking at? You know, those kind of things are going to be tough on the field. You know, they were even talking about going away with the lineup exchange at home plate last year. You know, no meetings on the mound last year, which, you know, for me as a manager is like, it's like, that's all I get to do once the game starts almost.
That's right.
You know, make a few decisions here and there, but yeah, so it's, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But man, hopefully we're moving in the right direction and everybody's.
And we'll eventually get back to normal. I just hope it's quicker. Yeah. Hope it's not another 2 years of this stuff, but we'll eventually get to it. So, and we're talking with Coach Jamie Bennett from the Boomers. So, hey, thank Jamie for being here. Now, Jamie, let's finish up here. There's people struggling today. Something's going on with them. If you give them some powerful message, some inspiration to help them get through today, what would you tell them?
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing, you know, with any kind of challenge, I think, you know, obviously we specifically talk about baseball and those kind of things, but life in general, you know, everybody deals with it. Is not to think of it as a sprint, but it's a marathon, and do a little at a time. You know, if things are bad today, tomorrow could be different, but that's a choice we have to make. You know, whatever we can do today to make tomorrow better, you know, I think it is a big part of it. You know, it's kind of like going through a slump in baseball. You know, you're going to go through those slumps. You're going to go 0 for your next 10 at times, you know, and struggle, but you know, just be consistent in your positive approach. Stay consistent with a positive approach and things will change.
There you go. Things will change. Things will get better. Get those, like I said, the small victories and build on top of those to move forward. Yeah.
Don't look too far ahead. Just the next day.
That's right. Just the next day is all we need. We get through the next day, then we get through another day, and we'll get better as things go on.
We should be thankful for everyone we get.
There we go. That's right. Jamie, thank you for being here. Appreciate it today. Jay, thank you for coming in. AQ, thank you for coming in. Everybody else coming on the replay, hey, thank you. Share this out, this message. Again, showing some hope and everything that's coming forward from this COVID going on, especially in baseball and everywhere else, but what they're trying to do. So anyone else that needs some type of help and everything, my book just came out with Your Past Doesn't Have a Future, But You Do. Create your future today. Go to my website and you can sign up for a mini course, free mini course on Your Past Doesn't Have a Future, But You Do. And you can get a ebook of the book. The book of the course there. So from there, so just go to professorofperseverance.com. Everybody else, thank you for coming in. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.